Yeah. Y'all ready for this?
Y'all ready for this?
At the famous Polo Grounds. It's been a one-sided knockdown drag-em-out ball game right from the very first inning, with the visiting team, the Birdie Gashouse Gorillas, giving the home team, the Teetotalers, a shellacking they'll never forget. Baseball fans, oh, there goes a screaming liner into left field. The home team hasn't a chance, but they're in there punchy, nevertheless.
I'm only 93 and a half years old. What could have come over me, sir? I meant to say strike.
Listen to that crowd roar as the Gashouse Gorillas go up to bat again. Boy, what a game!
Ball game with one hand tied behind my back, all by myself.
shut? So you think you can beat us all by yourself? Well, you got yourself a game.
Attention, please. Attention. There's been a slight change in the teetotaler lineup. Catching, Bugs Bunny. Left field, Bugs Bunny. Right field, Bugs Bunny. Pitching, Bugs Bunny. Third base, Bugs Bunny. Center field, Bugs Bunny. First base, Bugs Bunny. Shortstop, Bugs Bunny. Second base, Bugs Bunny.
Come on now, put it over the old plate, right down the old alley. This guy's a pushover. Come on now, boy, give it to him. That's the old pepper, boy. That's the old pitching. That's putting it over the old plate, boy. Give me your big league boss, and come on up, boy, 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 boy. I think I'll perplex him with my slow ball.
One, two, three strikes, you're out. One, two, three strikes, you're out. One, two, three strikes, you're out.
Oh, bat boy. That's the kind of stuff we want, kid. That's the old ginger boy.
I said you're out.
I'm safe.
You're out.
Safe.
Out.
Safe.
Out.
Safe.
Out.
Safe.
Out.
Safe.
Out. Safe.
Out.
Safe.
Out.
I say you're safe. If you don't like it, you can go to the showers.
Okay then, Doc. Have it your way. I'm safe. Come on now, put it over the old plate.
Bunny, 96. Gas House Gorillas, 95. It's the last half of the ninth with Bugs leading 96 to 95. The Gorillas have one man on base and two out. A home run now would win the game for the Gorillas.
Watch me pace this pathetic palooka with a powerful, paralyzing, perfect pachydermatous percussion pitch.
You're out! I'm out!
That's what the man said, you You heard what he said. He said that. You heard
that's what the man said. He said that. That's what he said. He really said that. That's what he said. And that's the end.
Party. He likes his chili con carne. Party. sit around.
Golden Redbeard, the funny. He is the laugh of the funny. He likes his chili con carne. That funny. He's such a goof. He's been good for loop. There is no funny.
With it.
Ernie, it's me, Bert. Would you open the door? I got the stuff.
Who is it?
Ernie, it's Bert. Will you open the door? I brought the stuff. Cut. Listen, Ernie, that big bird saw me coming over here. I got the stuff. Will you open the door?
Who is it?
It's Bert. Ernie, will you open the door?
Oh, Bert's not here right now.
Ernie, I know Bert's not here. I am Bert. Will you open the door? I brought the stuff.
On the day the cartoon animal reverted to their natural state, all the kids agree was a sight to see when they peeled off the paper and they all ran free. On the day the cartoon animal reverted to their original work, they threw off their anthropomorphic ways and totally went berserk. And there was Smokey the Bear choking on a camper. Smokey the Bear choking on a camper. Smokey the Bear choking on a camper. Boo Boo and Yogi dining in the dumpster. Well, look at old Mickey, that dirty old rat. Got a mouth full of cheese and his head in a trap. Donald's in a Chinese restaurant booth with a ginger glaze and no sailor suit. And there's Smokey the Bear choking on a camper. Smokey the Bear choking on a camper. Smokey the Bear choking on a camper. Bugs Bunny in the laboratory testing mascara. Well, Rocky's just a roadkill squirrel surprise. Only flying being done by fly. Bullwinkle's in the woods far away from here with a radio collar and a tag in his ear. And Smokey the Bear's choking on a camper. Smokey the Bear's choking on a camper. Smokey the Bear's choking on a camper. Porky smells nicer on a spiral slicer. Goofy's sniffing out drugs at the border. Bambi's on the turnpike riding on a fender.
Thank you.
open your little mouth. Isn't that a good boy?
Be right over. Oh, my goodness, what'll I do? What'll I do now? Let me think. Sodium, copper. No. Hooray! I've got it! Oh, I'll fix him! Yes, sir, I'll fix him right. Can't wait to hear this. It's gonna be good. You ready? Water, little servant. Empty. Right over. Come on, get up there. Get up there. Whee! Yeah.
Please hurry, Grampy.
Yeah.
We've been waiting.
Right. Right. Watch this now. Right on here. Little sink. Over here. Down here. Up. Yep. Over. Fix this over here now. It's gonna be good. Gosh darn it.
Well, Bullwinkle arrived in Hollywood to take the movie capital by storm. But so far, he hasn't even drizzled. With his mattress full of money, though, he was an immediate target for a talent scout named D.W. Grifter, who looked a lot like you-know-who.
Stick with me, Booby, and your name will be in lights. Oh, I can see it now.
Me too. Bullwinkle J. Moose.
Bullwinkle J. Moose. No, 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 no. We need name with more zing.
Bullwinkle J. Zing?
No, wait. It's coming, it's coming.
What's coming, darling?
Christmas, maybe?
Possibly St. Swithin's Day.
No, the name, the name. Yes, I got it.
Lay it on me.
Craig Antler.
Take it off me again.
Craig Antler?
Yes, can't you just see that name in light?
Yeah, and it's got bigger bulbs, too.
There's no time to lose. We got to get you in school right away.
School?
I knew there was a catch in this acting business.
But first, let's settle my little fee. Yes, I take 10%.
Of my salary?
No, of your mattress.
Well, the next day, a poorer but no wiser Bullwinkle...
Please, Craig.
Craig enrolled in the Thimmelrig School of Drama and Dance and awaited the appearance of his dramatic coach.
I'm all a Twitter, Ross.
Shh, I think he's coming.
Hello, hello, hello. Allow me to introducing myself, Gregory Rat, at your service. Well, let's get to work.
You mean I got to go to school to learn how to act?
Of course, it makes big difference. Look, here is picture of actor before and after lessons.
Quite a difference, Bullwinkle.
Yeah, this after picture looks great.
You are not or something? That's the before picture.
You mean he looks like this on purpose?
Believe me, it's the only way to crack showbiz. You've heard of the method school of acting?
I think so.
This is the shortcut version of the method. I call it the system.
And the disguised Boris began to teach Bullwinkle the system. He took courses in elementary slouching, advanced slouching, t-shirt tearing, contemporary beards and how they grew, and theoretical and applied mumbling, all at the rate of $20 an hour. Boris was very happy.
Look at that pile of frog skins, Natasha.
Won't Moose catch on eventually, Boris?
Catch on? Look at that face, Natasha.
Yes, I guess you're right.
But the villains hadn't counted on the intelligence of Bullwinkle's buddy, our hero, Rocket J. Squirrel.
Bullwinkle, you look terrible.
Yeah, isn't it great? When I get to be a complete mess, I graduate.
But you're not learning anything.
Not learning anything? Listen.
What was that?
That was my mumbling lesson for today. Pretty good, huh?
Gee,
bet you couldn't understand a word, could you?
No, and neither will anybody else. Nobody will ever give you an acting job.
But at that moment, the door burst open and in strode a commanding figure.
Hold it! Don't move a muscle.
Can I tremble a little?
Marvelous, sensational. He's just what I want.
And who are you?
You don't know me, you peasant.
Who is he, Miss Fitz?
He's the famous movie director, Alfred Hitchhike.
Alfred Hitchhike?
Yes, and Moose Uncle Alfred wants you.
Well, is this Bullwinkle's big break? We'll find out next time in Bullwinkle Makes a Movie or The Feature from Outer Space.
He's Oliver. Load of spinach and water.
Come on,
Ollie, won't you come back home?
Come on,
enough.
Oliver, he's Oliver.
Papa!
Come here.
No, Papa! Oh, don't do that, Papa! That old Pluto took me from you, Papa. You kissed me. I love you so much, Papa.
Really?
Don't let him take me away again, Papa. Oh, Papa, you dropped your spinach.
Oh,
my. Oh, Papa.
Sweetie.
Uh-huh?
You know, I've been thinking. Everybody is really different, but alike at the same time.
Oh.
Yeah, now, for instance, you take a Siamese or a Japanese baby.
Uh-huh.
When it's hungry, it cries and its mama gives it rice pebbling.
Yuck.
Now, you take an American baby.
Mm-hmm.
When it's hungry, it cries too, and its mama gives it spinach pebbling.
Oh,
huh. Oh, you like that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good. Now, both babies are crying when they gets hungry, so they're the same. But yet, blow me down if they ain't different because of where they lives and how they looks and what they eats.
Oh. I have a little friend from a far off place. He is not the same as me. He has a funny name, but a smiling face, and he is nice as nice can be. I have a little friend of a different race. He is not the same as me. His skin a different shade, eyes so oddly made, but he is nice as nice can be. We eat ice cream together. He likes vanilla too. We go to school together, and we play when school is through. I have a little friend from a far off place. He is nice as nice can be. He has a funny name and a funny face, but he's really just the same as me. He's really just the same as me. Like me. I'm a very, very lucky boy because I have a real, real friend. He doesn't look just like me, and he's not exactly the same, but we learn an awful lot from each other. And even though he's different, and he comes from a different race, we have a lot of things in common. And I like him very much, because he's nice as can be. We eat ice cream together. He likes vanilla too. Ooh, we go to school together, and we play when school is through. I have a little friend from a far off place. He is nice as nice can be. He has a funny name and a funny face, but he's really just the same as me. Oh, yes, he's really just the same as me. Just like me.
Yo, Eagle Raptor. Sup, Danny? This is the last song of what might be the last Starbomb album, which means we've got to bring it.
All right, let's go through our rejected song ideas that we never used and find a winner.
Hell yeah!
Yo, what about a song where Eggman cooks eggs that are poisoned and designed to paralyze Sonic's legs? Or a rap about butts called Ass, Ass, and Creed? A Final Fantasy 50, the really, really Final Fantasy? A Smash game where no one fights because they're all too busy clapping? Silent Hill's a game about a hill where nothing happens? Or the new Pokemon game that's now sweeping the nation about Squirtle trying autoerotic asphyxiation, baby? What about that thing like where you're on Yoshi's back?
I know you suggest this every album.
Hey, just give me a sec! And you're falling in a pit, and you have to jump away. And Yoshi
falls and dies.
It's really funny, okay?
This is usually hard, but I say because I
all the zombies masturbate.
Sonic runs and breaks out of the TV like an acrobat and ends up in the real world where he's fucked by a house cat.
A bathroom where the toilet is a portal instead,
with another on the ceiling so you poop on your head.
An MMO where you're a prostitute, World of Warcraft.
How about Kingdom Hearts?
Pause for laugh.
Bomberman goes through the TSA and you can guess the rest. Or how about if Kirby eats his foes and actually digests?
Grand Theft Auto, but you're in a never-ending traffic jam.
Sonic Boom,
where's the joke?
That is the joke. Oh, damn!
This is where the song comes at you. Hide from the bag. Neatly use that formula. A lot you are correct. Evan should come back in now, but he's busy.
He learns to run on his hands. That's the stupidest thing I've ever said.
A Mortal Kombat game where all the deaths are canon, so there's only two guys left.
Ooh, what about if Ganon was riding on a Yoshi and then falls into a pit?
The Splatoonfield janitor decides he's had enough and quits.
Wait, I think I got it.
Lay it on me, genius rapper.
What if Mario rode Yoshi and then fell into
no!
a...
No!
Here's Red Ryan Knightsman sound. Let's get introduced. But we used our...
Okay, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome back again to Addlewood here with Bitslap from me, your host KBC. And tonight, well, we need some stress relief, so tonight we're bringing you some cartoons to make your life perhaps a little less gloomy as we head down the home stretch to what could be Armageddon. Who knows? We have an asteroid coming, okay? Remember that? Meteor is going to come and hit Earth sometime, right? So anyway, while we're waiting for Halloween... And, you know, the death cult around it. We'll just sit back and watch some cartoons. We started off with a couple of things from the Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Started with their theme. I think that's their new theme. I like their old ones better. I like the old Hunger Force. And then, holy shit, Patti Smith. Aqua Teen Dream, that was. We heard one of everybody's favorite Warner Brothers cartoon, Baseball Bugs from 1946. Doing the banana split was, guess what? The banana splits. Yeah, from TV. The Banana Splits theme song from the Dickies. Also the Dickies. That was Bowling with Bedrock Barney. Oh, sorry. Cheech and Ernie was Ray Dariano, New York DJ for a while. I don't know what he's doing now. I don't even know if he's alive, but he had at least one album out there that I know about. All right. Haywood Banks, Cartoon Animals. If they came to life, it would be an interesting thing. Betty Boop cartoon. Don't know what it was called. I think it might have been called A Song a Day, but I'm not sure. The song itself was Hoosier Hot Shots, Hot Shot Nan. And I always admired Betty's, shall we say, relationship with Grampy. Okay. We heard from The Bullwinkle Show an episode. The Quick and the Dead, that one was. From The Last Angry Moose. It was a series. You know how that went. Bullwinkle, Jay Scott, the voice, June Frey, the voice of Rocky, and Natasha, and Freeze, you know what I'm talking about, that was Boris. All right, anyway, Searching for Olive Oil was the Seniors from the Sioux label, and then Jack Mercer, the original Popeye voice, along with May Castell, and I love that little giggle of hers, and then we heard from Starbomb, This Song Sucks, and it did. So we'll have more for you, hopefully to make up for it. Hang in.
today's special is Springfield Soul Stew. We sell so much of this, people wonder what we put in it. Well, we're going to tell you right now. Give me about a half a teacup of base. Now I need a pound of fatback drums. Now give me 4 tablespoons of boiling Springfield guitar. This is gonna taste all right.
Story of War in Robot Land. This is wonderful 00 Island, Colonel Bleep's great headquarters here on Earth. Now, as twilight fades, the lights in Scratch's cave, Squeak's cozy cottage, and the Colonel's laboratory blink off for the night. Silently, the powerful radar scope scans the darkened skies, ready to signal the outbreak of trouble anywhere in space. There it is! Red alert! Red alert! Scramble! Colonel Bleep, Squeak, and Scratch are off again, for there is terrible trouble indeed on the distant planet Robot Land. Here is a strange world of mechanical men, ruled by the master robot, Romax. From his closely guarded tower, Romax guides the movements of the robot workers below. In this giant factory, the mechanical men of Robot Land skillfully build the great machines needed for the peaceful progress of the universe. Disguised as a friendly robot, the wicked Dr. Destructo has entered the guarded tower. He pulls the switch of the master machine, and instantly all work is stopped. Then, quickly, with a mysterious power of his own, the evil doctor starts the robots again, working faster than ever before. But now, instead of building machines for peace, the factories rapidly grind out a deadly fleet of powerful space tanks, which Destructo plans to use to conquer the universe. Arriving at last, Colonel Bleep quickly orders Squeak and Scratch to dash for cover on the ground below, while Bleep prepares to face Destructo's mighty armada alone. The Power Mad Doctor orders the attack. The mighty Colonel stands his ground. Now Destructo steps up the pace. A steady stream of the deadly robot weapons pours onto the firing line. How long can Bleep withstand such overwhelming odds? If only Squeak and Scratch could break through the solid steel tower walls and gain control of the master robot. Look, the cannon can still be fired. But what about ammunition? Oh, no! Scratch has volunteered to be a human cannonball. Ready, aim, fire! The caveman pulls the switch. And the mighty Romex once again resumes command of Robot Land. Destructo's power is broken. Now the deadly stream of robot weapons zeroes in on the fleeing villain. The wicked culprit scrambles for his very life. Yes, once again, Colonel Bleep and his friends have saved the people of space from sure destruction. And while the brave Scratch may sometimes act a little dumb, this was one day when the caveman really used his head.
Instead, you knock it down. Look, never mind. I'm gonna be a hurricane with six eyes. I'm gonna be a big apocalyptic jerk. I'm gonna do the exact same moves the other kaijus do, but this time it's gonna work. It's all in my reach as I corral through the breach. You think a wall on the beach can keep me out? The end is nigh. Same strength, same height, same weight, no weapon, same brain, even same DNA, and the same game plan. The difference is how we are different, cause I don't have my head ripped off, a rocket in my butt, my brains aren't floating in a lobster tank, I still have teeth, my legs aren't gone, I'm not tied down to an aircraft carrier, I can still breathe, I'm not on fire, my ribs aren't a strip mall in Hong Kong.
You thought they were the ones to worry about?
You were wrong.
Let's proceed to begin. I'm gonna lead with my chin. Just watch me follow in the footsteps of the fallen for the win. The tides are sure to shift if you catch my drift.
You've been the one before me.
Pretty much immediately.
You may have won that time and the time before that 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 and the time. But not this time.
Like a peanut shell, eat those two little nuts and throw the rest right into that. Ow! Oh, who was that? What is that, a chest launcher? Ow! Hey! Hey, let go of my face fin thing!
Stepping up, Otachi, Kaiju Category 4. This world is mine.
I'm gonna raise that city. I'm gonna raise it to the
ground. Ow! Hey, come on! I didn't even get to sing my song! Whoa! What is that, a plasma caster? Dude! Ow! You just tore off my acid sack! Ow! You know what? Fine! I don't even need a tail! It was too big anyway! Let's go for a little ride, you and me! I got you now! What? Sword! Dude, you can't just all of a sudden have a sword! You had to say that at the beginning! That's not fair! I didn't see this coming! Come on!
Stop the clock.
This is the story of Gerald McCloy and the strange thing that happened to that little boy. And they say it all started when Gerald was 2. That's the age kids start talking, at least most of them do. Well, when he started talking, they say, in his case, when the time came for words to come out of his face, Gerald, they say, sat up straight in his bed, and he looked at his folks, and you know what he said? He didn't talk words, he went instead. What's that? Cried his father, his face turning gray. That's a very odd thing for a young boy to say. Then, much to his father's and mother's great pain, Gerald, he did it again. Like a rusty old gate. He's sick, cried his father. It's something he ate. And the poor weary gentleman rushed to the phone and quick dialed the number of Dr. Malone. Come over. Fast, doctor, the poor father pled. Our boy can't speak words. He goes instead. And in 5 minutes, the doctor was there. I say, said the doctor, this case is quite rare. Open your mouth, lad. Now open it wide. Say ah while I take a good look down inside. But just as the doctor stared down the boy's throat, Gerald went like a boat. Then the strangest new noises all started to flow. He went like a buzzsaw and like a crow. Then 5 times in a row. Good grief, gulped the doctor. What's that, the boy said? He doesn't speak words, he goes instead. There's no cure for this, I can't handle the case. And he packed up his pills and walked out of the place, leaving poor frantic Mr. and Mrs. McCloy alone in the house with their boy. Alone with their boy going like a sheep. And all the next day he went like a jeep. And all the next night he went in his sleep. And as the months passed, he got louder and louder and was soon going like a big keg of powder. It was then that his father said, this is enough. He'll drive us both mad with this stuff. A boy of his age shouldn't, like a fool, he's got to learn words. We must send him to school. So they took their boy and brushed his hair neat, sent him off to the schoolhouse on Mulberry Street. But half an hour later, alas and alack, with a poor Gerald came back with a and his eyes looking hurt and a note from the teacher pinned onto his shirt. A letter that read, my dear Mrs. McCloy, your stupid son Gerald's a most hopeless boy. We just cannot teach him, for we have a rule that pupils must not go in our school. Your boy will go all his life, I'm afraid. Sincerely yours, Fanny Schultz, teacher, first grade. His mother the tears that she shed. She cried 15 handkerchiefs full, as she said. Oh, we'll never hear words coming out of his head. Now he'll always go instead. Now, what would you do if it happened to you? If you wanted to speak, but whenever you tried, a noise like came up from inside. If you tried to talk words, but the sound from your head always came out instead. Well, it happened to Gerald, and soon the news spread. Soon the neighbors were whispering all over the block that Gerald goes like a clock. He can't speak a word, and he's going on six, and they say he goes like the breaking of sticks. Oh, the life in his house is just awful, they say. They can't get a cook or a maid who will stay. His drives them away. And Gerald the poor fella soon found, when a fella goes, no one wants him around. When a fella goes, he can't have any pals. His frightened the gals. In that whole great big city, no child would go near him. They'd lean from their windows and taunt him and jeer him. Nyah, nyah, they all shouted, your name's not McCloy, your name is Mac, the noisy mouth boy. And Gerald Mac, in shame, hung his head, 'cause he couldn't make words he made instead. And Gerald Mac, from that time on knew that his life was a failure, for what could he do? He would never make good, Gerald thought with a sob, for a boy who goes cannot hold down a job. No, a boy who goes has no place to go. So late one cold night he ran out in the snow. If he died, who would care? He'd be better off so. And suddenly, whilst he ran clippity-clop through the storm right behind him, a voice shouted, stop! Aren't you Gerald Mac, the lad who makes squeaks? Mac, I've searched for you many long weeks. Mac, Mac, please don't run away. Mac, 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 please stay. I can make you the most famous boy in this nation, for I own the radio station. I need a smart fellow to make all the sounds, who can like a dog and go like the hounds. I need a smart lad who can like the breeze, who can like a doorbell and like the bees. Your is terrific, your is inspired. Quick, come to Mac, you're hired. And the man took Mac by the hand, and 10 minutes later, throughout this great land, more than 10 million people heard Gerald let go with a on a radio show. And today, if you tune in out there, that's Gerald you hear going on the air. From dawn every morning to late every night, he goes to the listener's delight. Now his parents, proud parents, are able to boast that his is a that is known coast to coast. Now when he goes, no one jeers, no one laughs. They all beg Mac for his autographs. Now Mac, he's rich, he has friends, he's well fed. 'Cause he doesn't speak words, he goes instead.
Welcome to tonight's presidential debate in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm Chris Wallace, and it used to be an honor to moderate these things. Tonight's event should go smoothly as long as the candidates resist the urge to constantly interrupt.
Excuse me, but what has Joe Biden done in 47 years? In just 47 months, I've made this country completely unrecognizable.
Right now, this country is dog shit.
But I can make it better.
Like one of them cute little bunny turds.
Mr. President, do you believe your response to the coronavirus pandemic has been adequate?
Look, we've got 200,000 dead, which is way less than I would have predicted back in January when I knew it was coming but didn't say anything.
Way back in January, I would have delivered this clear message to the American people. Watch out, buckos! We got a bug headed our way! So hunker down in the root cellar with your best gal till Fauci says, ta-da!
If you'd have been president, 2 million people would have died, we would have lost the space race, and Kerry Strug wouldn't have landed her Olympic gold-winning vault.
Moving on.
No,
the next,
no,
the
I'm
next
still talking.
President,
will you shut up, man? Usually when I'm this bewildered, I figure it's me losing cognitive function.
Mr. President, are you willing to condemn white supremacist groups and tell them to stand down?
How can I say this in the least horrifying way possible? Stand back and stand by. I mean, await my instructions. I mean, mean ammo's on sale. I mean our righteous war is nigh.
You know what? I'm just going to give you both the chance to shout incoherently for the next 10 seconds.
Socialists!
Puppies!
Back the cars!
President
ever! Clarence!
Coach McMahon!
Those
are shells and
cufflinks!
You
just lost
I'm the Democratic Party!
Very good. Mr. President, how do you respond to the New York Times report that you've paid virtually no income tax over the last decade?
At least I didn't get my idiot kid a job, even though they have no expertise in anything.
You tell him, Daddy!
Do you both agree to accept the results of the election?
The fact that you're even asking me that question makes me feel like I've got options. Whatever I do, it's on you, Chrissy.
Fair's fair. Winner gives a loser a consolation neck rub.
Could I just take a moment to address the folks at home?
Actually, no. We're out of
America,
time.
Honey, I have a confession. The only reason I asked to go steady as your president was because I was busted ass broke. But over the last 4 years, I've changed. I've fallen madly in love with you and your bewitching emoluments. So what do you say? Will you take me back and bail me out of my $421 million debt? Please! You gotta help me! I'm drowning!
Yo, Trumpy, what's good?
Oh, hi! Hey, Putin. I'm kind of in the middle of something.
Relax! What are they gonna do, impeach you again? So look, I'm here to collect payment for all that off-the-books funny money.
You know what? Just take Air Force One. It's parked out back.
All right! See you in 2 weeks for the next installment! And hey, stop talking over Biden. It sounds like you're projecting your feelings of guilt onto him in a desperate attempt to avoid introspection. I'm not a typical voter, but I was turned off.
That's all the time we have. I'm Chris Wallace, and I can't tell you who to vote for, but come on.
Listen to me. I'm sorry, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Oh, yeah, I know all about the FCC.
They will clean up all your talking in a manner such as this.
They will make you take a tinkle when you want to take a piss.
And they'll make you call fellatio a trouser-friendly kiss.
Here's the plain situation. There's no negotiation with the fellas at the freaking FCC.
They're as stuffy as the stuffiest of special interest groups.
Make a joke about your bowels and they order in the troops.
Any baby with a brain could tell them everybody poops.
Take a tip, take a lesson. You'll never win by messing with the fellas at the freaking FCC.
And if you find yourself with some young sexy thing, you're gonna have to do her with your ding-a-ling.
because you can't say penis. So they sent this little warning. They're prepared to do their worst.
And they stuck it in your mailbox, hoping you could be coerced.
I can think of quite another place they should have stuck it first.
They may just be neurotic or possibly psychotic. They're the fellas at the freaking FCC.
Now let's join Ren Hoak at breakfast time.
What? I'm all out of powdered toast.
Calling powdered toast man. Come in. Please respond.
Powdered toast man.
Powdered toast man.
Hello, fellas. Out of powdered toast again? Leave everything to me.
Just look at those eyes light up.
Isn't he wonderful?
Why, he's toast-terrific!
Just like powdered toast!
Don't run out of powdered toast at your house. From Primo.
You've seen him on the screen. If you don't know who we're talking about, you'll know him when he sings. Woody's such a crazy bird. He has peculiar ways. All the kids are thrilled with joy. They like to hear him say, three little pigs and the big bad wolf, old Goofy and the crows. There's many others I could name, but you know all of those. I know you've read of all of them. You've seen them on the screen. There's none as crazy as this bird. You know the one I mean. People go to the picture show to see a western scene. When old Woody comes along, they like to hear him sing. He always gets the things he wants, even if it's wrong. But everybody likes to hear old Woody sing his song. He's such a naughty little bird. He always gets his way. All the kids from miles around, they like to hear him say.
Song. Yeah, he's a peckin' it all day long. He pecks a few holes in a tree to see if a redwood's really red. And it's nothing to him on the tiniest whim to peck a few holes in your head. Oh, that's the Woody Woodpeckers too. Makes the other woodpeckers swoon. Though it doesn't make sense to the doll and the dance and the lady woodpeckers long for. That's the Woody Woodpecker song. a woodpecker hit parade. Though we can't sing a note, there's a frog in his throat. All his top notes come out blurred. He's the lady's first choice, with a laugh in his voice. He gives all his rivals the bird. He'll be settling down someday. He'll be hearing the preacher say, for the rest of your life, you'll be Woody and wife, and the choir will sing along with the Woody Woodpecker song.
Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. Oh, what a couple in love, oh love. As the story goes, true to each other, just as true as the stars above. He was a man, but he'd done wrong. Johnny stepped out on his Frankie, though he had sworn they'd be wed. A Rudy toot toot, and Johnny wound up dead. He was her man, but he done her wrong.
The People versus Frankie.
Frankie came down to the courtroom. She faced every rap in the book. Her lawyer was Jonathan Bailey, known as Honest John the Crook. He was the man who was gonna prove that people were wrong.
Your Honor, we've had enough histrionics. It's an open and shut kind of case. We call to the stand the bartender of the joint where the crime took place.
Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts, and all over town it was known. And then one day he came in without Frankie, but he still ain't quite alone. Now Frankie comes looking for Johnny. Well, I couldn't tell her no lie, so I quietly slipped her the info. He's out back with Nellie Bly.
Nellie Bly?
Rudy toot toot.
Rudy toot toot.
Right in the snoot.
Your witness.
No questions.
Next witness.
I'm Nellie Bly. I'm a singer. A singer of sweet melody.
Why, that's a lie. She's no singer.
Please.
As I started to say, I'm a singer. At least in my time, I've heard worse. I was in the back room there with John Boy, but only to rehearse. Now Johnny seemed just a little bit nervous. He had seen Frankie's temper before. Toot a toot toot when Frankie's gun right through that hardwood door. She shot him.
There's no dispute.
She shot her man with a Rudy toot toot.
Your witness.
No question.
The state rests.
Mm-hmm. Facto Factorum. Picture, if you will, the true events. Frankie in her garden, in her innocence, up to her lovely neck in flax, and flax, and flax of hollyhocks. For she is pure, pure and demure, pure, demure. Without compunction, I have performed that fiction, function. Could she pull this trigger? Bah! Take a life? Bah! Were she free, I'd take this maiden for my wife. Ipso facto, status quo, I rest my case.
Roll out your rubber-tired hearses, roll out your rubber-tired hack, 'cause Frankie's going to the jailhouse, and she ain't coming back, 'cause it's wrong to shoot with a Rudy-toot-toot. She shot her man, 'cause he done her wrong.
Of course, you all recognize Carl Stalling, right? Yes. This is very hard music to talk over, by the way, because it starts and stops and stuff. Anyway, we'll do the best we can. This is take 7, okay? Marge Simpson up top, the Springfield Soul Stew from Simpsons album. Colonel Bleep, an entire Colonel Bleep cartoon. I couldn't find the origin one, but I found this one, The War in Robotland. Not this time, the Kaiju song from Mike Furman. Mike Furman there. We heard a Gerald McBoing Boing cartoon from The Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve was a character, not a person. He was played by Harold Peavy. Okay? Hey, Gilly, away. And this thing was made in 1950. Okay? Let's see. The first debate went off the rails, obviously enough. I don't know how last night's was because I didn't hear it. I was not paying any attention at all. As a matter of fact, I was fast asleep. And that's pretty good. That's why I'm so relaxed today. We heard that, right? That was from Our Cartoon President, a Showtime series. We Didn't Start the Fire was the Avengers, okay, from the Endgame cast on the Fallon Show. Let's see. Family Guy, the freaking FCC. The less we say about them, the better. Powdered Toast Man, a commercial from the Ren and Stimpy Show. Ren and Stimpy are my favorite cartoons. And then Aqua Teen, I guess. All right. Woody from the Miller Sisters, from 1954, and from 1948, Woody Woodpecker, Kay Kaiser, along with Gloria Wood and Harry Babbitt. Did you know that Walter Lantz's wife was the voice of Woody? Did you know that? I did. Now you do too. And then we heard, let's see, finally we brought up the rear with John Hubley on the UPA cartoon. United, I'm not sure. Rudy Toot Toot, okay? The blues. Anyway, I got one more for you. Hang in there. We only got two more weeks of this madness and then it'll be over. We'll see. Anyway, I'll be back next week with some Halloween stuff.
Pipe, any other dance jigs, the three little pigs are still around, but they're playing music with the modern sound. Smooth. The pigs were due for a big surprise, for the wolf appeared with red-rimmed eyes.
Oh, you're cool. Oh, you're cool. Oh, you're cool, man. Cool.
Well, to show he was friendly, he shook their hand, announced he was joining up with a band. Instead of starting an argument, one and a two and away they went. Three little pigs were really gassed. They'd never heard such a corny blast.
We played in the West. We played in the East. We've heard the most, but you're the least.
Well, the big bad wolf was really mad. He wanted to play music and he wanted to play bad.
They stopped me before I could go to town, so I'll huff and puff and blow their house down.
Of straw was blown away. The pigs had to find another place to play. A dewdrop in the house of sticks. Three little pigs were giving out licks. Well, the piano playing pig was swinging like a gate, doing Liberace on an 88.
I wish my brother George was here.
He entered the hall. The big bad wolf, he sat right down.
Come on, cats, we're going to town.
Gonna get tough, I'll give them more. They don't know talent in this here town. I'll huff and puff and blow the place down.
Do drop in, did drop down. Three little pigs crawled out of the rubble.
This big bad wolf gives us nothing but trouble.
So we won't be bothered by his windy tricks.
The next place we play must be made of bricks.
Place this house of bricks built in 1776. High class place with a high class crowd. Sign on the door, no wolves allowed. The wolf was sore and fit to be tied. He was sworn and determined to get inside. Huffed at the house of bricks, but bricks are stronger than straw or sticks. He huffed and puffed and bleeped and blooped, and at 10 o'clock was completely pooped. When all of a sudden came a ray of hope.
I could disguise myself. Boy, what a dope!
He figured out another way to get inside.
If I can't blow it down, I'll blow it up!
Well, the big bad wolf was really gone, and with him went his corny horn. Went out of this world without a trace, didn't go to heaven, was the other place.
Oh.